You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Back in 2018, Idaho started its branch of Project Echo. This is a platform for healthcare workers to support and educate one another. The project works to share knowledge through weekly video conferences to help increase the specialist knowledge among doctors here in our state. The program started with opioid use, and it has since expanded to include series on behavioral health, as well as substance use during pregnancy. However, in March, that program started offering coronavirus-specific lessons and support. So now, doctors from around our state are more educated on this respiratory disease and how to address it, even if that wasn't their specialty in medical school. Joining Idaho Matters today is Idaho's Project Echo Director, Lachelle Smith, and Dr. Ann Lima of Clearwater Valley Hospital in Orofino. Welcome to the program, both of you.
Thanks. Good to be here.
Likewise.
So, Lachelle, let's start with you. Oftentimes we know that in rural communities, not only do they have a doctor shortage, they're a lot of times aren't even specialists in the area that can deal with, all the non-routine health concerns of its residents. So typically, if someone goes to their regular doctor, like with a complex issue, they're usually referred to someone, with specific training, a specialist. So can you talk about why that is such a big problem in rural parts of our state?
Right. Well, in a lot of parts of Idaho, we're rural or even more rural than rural, which is frontier. And so a referral to see a specialist that might entail a lot that can prevent someone from getting care. Maybe that's travel, 2, 4, 6, 8 hours to an urban center, one of Idaho's three capitals, Boise, Salt Lake, or Spokane, to get that care. If you can get the time off, even if you can get yourself there, weather permitting, and you might have a really long wait. And so that means those patients in those rural and frontier communities, they're not getting the right care that they need. They're not getting it in the right place, and they're not getting it in the right time. And while specialists, there's always going to be a role for specialists, absolutely. What if that care is somewhere, something that could be handled with the healthcare professionals in their community with a little extra support or information or knowledge, so that while they're waiting for that referral, or maybe could be treated entirely by someone they already have a relationship with who's right there, so that that patient can get the care and reduce all of these barriers.
And Anne, you're a doctor in a rural part of our state, in Orofino. Can you talk about what that specialist care looked like before Project Echo and what's happened since you've had Project Echo in place?
So yeah, we don't have specialists in our town. We do have some visiting specialists, cardiologists, vascular surgeons that come to our town and work out of our clinic, but generally we don't have specialists in our area. And so that access to specialists is limited by geography. And so with Echo, what really happens is that I'm able to learn about a specific topic, ask questions regarding my patients, and then use that information to treat my patients. Kind of as Lachelle said, I know this patient the best, and to be able to deal with that patient in this place, in this time, where they don't have to travel, it becomes much better for the patient and for myself as well. So I am using my knowledge of the patient and the care that we have here and adding that specialist expertise to get my patients the best care.
And Lachelle, how this works basically is that these doctors do video conferencing. Can you talk to us about what that looks like? How it's structured, who does the facilitating of those video conferences?
Yeah, absolutely. So we use Zoom. We were onto Zoom before it became a thing to connect. We contract with a faculty of experts who are knowledgeable in that, whatever the topic is that we're focusing on. And we're really intentional to get folks across disciplines. So it's a really interdisciplinary conversation. So it might be a physician, a nurse, a pharmacist, folks from behavioral health side, which in patient care, we all need to work together. But the way medical education and medical system is structured, sometimes we end up being in silos. So we think it's really important to get everybody together, and then folks call in from all across the state. So we'll have, you know, a physician in Rexburg and a social worker in Emmett, maybe a pharmacist or counselor from Bonners Ferry. They'll all call in on the call, and then we have a short lecture and then lots of times for question and answer. And then a participant will sign up to bring a de-identified patient case. So we're able to really solidify that complex information through practical application of what would this look like for my patient this afternoon. And then everyone on the call, it's really all teach, all learn. So people are giving suggestions, asking questions, sharing resources. Because it's an Idaho conversation, we can get really into the nitty gritty, you know, does Medicaid cover that? Okay, no. What about over here? And so it's a real all teach, all learn mind center of collaboration and conversation. And that ends up being really fun.
It sounds like it. I mean, right? That real back and forth and just having that ability to learn from one another, I would think, makes a huge difference.
Absolutely. And I think no one wants to practice on an island. But in some of these rural and frontier communities, you're the only one. Your whole communities are looking to you for health. So to be able to get on the call with each other and say, gosh, this hard thing happened to me. Is anybody else dealing with this? And lots of nodding heads. Or, you know, gosh, I need to bounce this idea off of a team of colleagues across the state. I think it's nice to really decrease that professional isolation and really support one another as we're all doing our best to advance health and safety. But it's nice to have this group to work together with.
So you mentioned, you know, no one wants to work on an island, right, or be isolated. And then when you have a pandemic hit, when coronavirus did, Lachelle, how did your program work? And I mean, and work quickly to get an Echo series up and running for these doctors who are in these rural parts of our state?
Right. So the great thing about Echo is we already had the platform and we already had the staff and we already had the format set up to address these other complicated, complex health issues in Idaho, like you mentioned, behavioral health and opioid substance use. So we were able to really quickly pivot to use that same model, but plug it in with infectious disease experts and folks who are who have careers at the CDC, who needs to be at the table from public health, who needs to be at the table as far as managing high-risk populations. And so we were able to bring them together. And whereas it wouldn't have worked in person because we use teleconferencing, and it's really easy to access, you know, it's always 1 hour over the lunch hour. You know, we've got folks calling in, you know, they've just finished patient care. They're maybe on their lunch break. They pop in for as long as they can and hop back out. We thought that was a really great format so that we could spread this information across the state, knowing that things are changing so rapidly and there's a lot to wade through to get to the information that they need to help their communities.
And Dr. Lima, I think if I'm reading the state's data correctly, it looks like Clearwater County does not have any reported cases of COVID-19 right now. With that being said, though, what was it like for you to have access to, you know, to Project Echo, right? Because all of a sudden this pandemic hits, you are, you know, in a small isolated community. I'm sure people had questions and you are the point of reference.
Yeah, so you're correct in that we don't have any cases that have been designated in Clearwater County. We have diagnosed at our hospital COVID-19, however, they do not live in this county. So we don't have anything. We have been preparing for the pandemic for many months now. And so we had been preparing prior to Echo Idaho starting. And so when Echo Idaho started, it was nice to compare what we had prepared with other sites in Southern, in, you know, Southeastern, in Northern Idaho. Everyone networking, which is, I think, what a big part of Echo is a huge networking site. So especially on this, the COVID echo segments that we've been doing. It hasn't just been rural Idaho, it's been people from all over. And so people have been able to share their experiences, share their planning, share their testing strategies, share their, you know, triage guidelines, their personal protective equipment shortages and how they have gotten around that. And so that has been super helpful. And, you know, as someone is talking, I'm on my list. Okay, I've done this. I'm like, oh, okay, that's a great idea. Let's, you know, bring that into the situation. And then, you know, when they ask for comments or suggestions, I can also give the same, you know, input that other people can, like, okay, have you thought about this? So it's been a really good networking situation in terms of the COVID-19 echo.
Well, and we should know, Dr. Lima, I mean, Lewiston isn't too far away from you. However, I mean, I would think that sometimes a drive, the weather can be a barrier if people do need to go to a bigger area. So again, you being able to tap into Project Echo has got to make a difference for so many people. I mean, I'm assuming you still there are times where someone still has to go see a specialist, but you can at least do that, you know, maybe that first or second, you know, workup with them.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of patients that don't go to specialists at all, and they can't travel to Lewiston, they can't travel to Spokane, they can't travel to Coeur d'Alene, which are, I would say, our two biggest referral areas, being Spokane and Coeur d'Alene. And so that's a, you know, three and a half hour trip for many of our patients. And so they don't go. And so it's helpful that we're able to talk about it together. You know, together, I mean, myself, my patient, and then specialists, as well as kind of the network of professionals that are in the Echo community.
And Lachelle, as before we wrap up, you know, over the years, you've been able to add a lot of series to this program. Are there certain things that you would still like to add when it comes to education that haven't been addressed yet?
Oh, my list is long. I think there are a lot of critical health needs in Idaho that Echo could be a boon to help, you know, support those areas. And so, I think more in the behavioral health realm, maybe focused on youth and adolescents, suicide prevention. I think as we have an aging population in Idaho, more work around geriatrics or dementia, Alzheimer's, palliative care. We're waiting on some resources to perhaps start an autism track. So we keep a really close eye on what the health needs are in the state and what the health workforce, what the appetite is for that programming, and try to be as responsive as we can to help bring our forum to advance both patient outcomes through education of the health workforce.
I want to thank both of you for taking some time out of your day, especially you, Dr. Lima. I know you're on call, so thank you so much. We've been talking with Lachelle Smith, Director of Project Echo in Idaho, and Dr. Ann Lima. She is a doctor in Orofino who has relied on the Project Echo in her practice. Thank you.
Thanks, Gemma.
Up next, tomorrow, we learn who won the Idaho primary election, but why is this year so different? We'll take a look next.